When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We actually don't have any guests today. It is just me and you and Rob. All right. Rob, I'm going to pass it to you here. You're going to be my TJ McConnell, you know? Come in, knock down some shots, energy buckets, you know, help us win this segment. Now, I have two questions to ask you that seem very important. I'm watching the news yesterday. I try to stay informed. I wasn't just reading the news on my phone. I mean, I was watching the news on the television. You know, I'm Fox 4 alumni. They were talking about the World Cup. And they had a big celebration down at Union Station. And there's a countdown. And everybody's getting ready for the World Cup. So you know what I did? I just did a quick Google search. Because this is a soccer competition, right? And the United States is guaranteed to be in the World Cup because they are the host. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. They didn't make the last World Cup, did they? They weren't in the last.
They made Qatar. They did not make Russia.
Okay. I knew it was one of them. They weren't eligible for. They weren't good enough to be in that one. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, let me see how they're doing now. Like, you know, turning things around, you know. This is the one you've been telling me they've been building up for. And I always joke for you that the goal of the United States soccer is to just be better than Mexico. They're not trying to be better than any other country. Hey, can we beat Mexico in a friendly on FS1? That's all their goal really is. Rob tells me that's not true. This is the golden era of soccer. They've been building towards this and all the soccer academies. They're trying to be more like the teams over in Europe. That's what you've been telling me. You've been selling me this dream. I didn't go on ESPN and just look at soccer because I'm curious. I want to know how we're doing. I want us to perform. They got beat 4-0 a couple days ago. They haven't beat a European soccer team since 2021. What? We've spent way too much money, way too many resources for them to still be trash at soccer. What's going on with the United States men's soccer program? Wasn't this supposed to be the time that they was going to get stuff going? Last time you told me it was the coach. That the talent was there, but they didn't have the right coach. They fired him, and they still getting smoked. What's going on?
I mean, it is. We talk about all-time bag fumbles on this show a lot. This is bad. They have more players playing internationally than at any point in American soccer history, and it is clubs that even the most casual of soccer fan has heard of. They're not playing at League Two, you know, AFC Wimbledon. They got guys playing at Barcelona. They got guys playing at Juventus. They got guys playing at AC Milan. They got guys playing in the Premier League. They got guys everywhere, and they stink. It is a top-to-bottom failure. I thought the failure only went as high as the manager. I was wrong. Everyone who is above him in president, GM, everyone is failing absolutely miserably. And you are currently seeing their most talented player take a sabbatical because he needs some time away. He needs a break from the wear and tear, the rigors of the World Cup. So this is basically an MLS roster, and they're getting thumped every night.
I mean, to be fair, that actually sounds like a very American thing to do. To just take a break because you feel overwhelmed when there's great expectation on you and people are counting on you for you to just say, you know what, I'm kind of tired right now. I think I'm going to stop here. That actually sounds like a 20-something-year-old American thing to do. He might be the greatest American. That's your guy, right? Christian Pulisic? I've seen you wear two jerseys. One I bought you was an old Paul Pierce jersey, and the other one, Christian Pulisic. That's supposed to be your man's. So that's number one. From a soccer perspective, it doesn't sound like there's going to be a lot of reasons to be excited about the United States soccer. You're going to go down to Power and Lie. You're going to dress up. You're going to dress up like Hulk Hogan in 1987. You're going to be drinking your Pabst Blue Ribbon, banging the two beers together, pouring them on yourself like you're Stone Cold Steve Austin, all to watch them lose 1-0 to a country that has fewer people than Tennessee. Doesn't sound like my idea of fun, but hey, that's fun for some of you. Great. Do you think we're ready as a city for the World Cup? Because they're expecting a lot of people to be coming to this thing. We don't know what countries, we don't know what teams, but they're getting the streetcar up and running. They got some initiatives to try to help some businesses downtown. They're trying to figure out the public transportation. We got a year to go until we get there. You don't sound very confident about the soccer portion of this. I don't know how you can feel confident about it. They're not performing very well. Are you hopeful? Are you confident as a city that we'll be able to pull this off? Because correct me if I'm wrong, there's only two cities in America that have more soccer matches next summer than we do. I think we have six in total if you count the knockout round games. There's going to be a lot of very important soccer games that are going to be happening here in Kansas City a year from now.
The short answer to your question is, I do not believe the city is ready yet. And I believe the city might be behind schedule on being ready. You mentioned the streetcar. I mean, they're working on it. Is it done? Where's it come to and from? Like, have you driven down Maine? Because it's still an absolute mess. I don't know if you've driven on I-70 anytime recently. That's a mess. I don't know if you've driven on 69 Highway on the Kansas side. That's a mess. 435, perpetually a mess. 35, a mess. So transit, disaster. Carrington, you are a person in media in Kansas City. This is the kind of thing you should know. Hey, where are the watch parties being held? Do you know? Does the city know? How can you get that information out to the people? Hey, how's ticket sales going? They released group hospitality tickets. Those are available. Are they going good? Because they're not selling right now. Now, you're right. If you want to say, hey, we don't know the teams yet, cool. Tickets might be an unfair barometer. But there's a lot of things the city was talking about getting geared up and prepared for when they got announced as a country, what, 2-3 years ago they got picked? And I don't think they are ready. Now, they have another 12 months.
Yeah, a long time to get going.
You had, what, 48 months? You had 36 months? And you're now still questioning things with 12 months to go? They have, what, 2 sponsors? That was their big announcement yesterday. They got 2 sponsors. Neither one is local, by the way. They got 2 sponsors, Purina and a company called Populous, I believe. Now, maybe Populous is local. I've never heard of that company before, but it does not feel like things are on the up and up with the city being ready for the scale of event that is coming to town in 12 months.
All right. This is just, and that you know far more about this than I do. So I'm willing to defer to you on, and I've seen a lot of people echo some of those sentiments. I think it is also important to note some of the other cities that have hosted the World Cup. The World Cup in 2022 was in Qatar. Now, I don't know all the cities over there, but I'm assuming our infrastructure in Kansas City, our government, I'm assuming things are a little bit better here than they are over there. I'm just going to go on that assumption that that is the case. I think the biggest thing they're going to have to figure out is, A, how are we moving all of these people around? You and I both live in here in Kansas City. It is a car city. We don't really have the public transportation that some of the other major cities have in place that can get you from point A to point B. What is the plan going to be to get all of those people around? So that is something that I'm very, very curious. But, I mean, I will give Kansas City a lot of credit. I mean, it's not like we have a shortage in hosting major sporting events. The World Series has been here before. The AFC Championship game, I mean, so literally the second, third biggest football game that you can have in this country has been in Kansas City multiple times now. They have had multiple parades. They have had the NFL draft. It's certainly not like our city is unprepared in hosting a major sporting event. Now, this is the biggest, the largest sporting event that you can have. But if you're telling me that they got a year to figure out some of the logistics things, I trust their ability to do it. Kathy Nelson and her team, they haven't really let us down before in this area. I don't know why they would stop now on the absolute biggest stage, especially, again, when you look at some of the other cities and countries that have hosted the World Cup before.
You're right. Kansas City is probably better than anywhere in Qatar. I'd also tell you that people look at Qatar as one of the worst one-run World Cups that we've ever had because of, well, there's a lot of reasons why Qatar was one of the worst-run World Cups, but we're not going to delve into all the geopolitics of why that went down. But to answer your question, you're right. They have 12 months left. There's nothing but hope. They had 36 months, Carrington. Why are we looking at the last 12 months as this is the timeline to get it done? What have they been doing for 24 months? We know that they built some sort of committee or group in town in charge of the World Cup. What's that group been doing for 24 months? Hanging out? Having parties? You know, I don't know. Having conversations about construction in town? We are now in the, like, the home stretch, and you and I can not really point to anything that says the city is ready. I guess the closest thing is they've now said that if there's an empty storefront downtown, they'll fill it. Okay, it took them 24 months to get that plan in place. We got 12 left. I'm skeptical of them nailing this. I think they can, but I remain skeptical because, and I know the AFC Championship game is huge, and the World Series is very big. I'm not diminishing these events. They do not come close to the scale of the World Cup. It is going to be here for a month. The first game, I believe, next year is 6-11 or 6-12 of 2026, and the final game they have is 7-11 of 26. There is a month, six soccer games at Arrowhead that could be cycling 12 different fan bases coming through. I don't know the city is ready for that large-scale event. It is bigger than an AFC title game. It just is.
Text line 913-586-7965. Let us know what you think. We are a year away from the World Cup. I'm largely excited about it. You guys know soccer really isn't my thing, but I plan on trying to go to one or two games. I don't need to go to the biggest games, but I would like to go out there and see and catch the vibe and kind of see how it is. Rob, soccer is something that you're very passionate about. You're excited about it. You do sound a little bit worried about what the next 12 months are going to look like. That's certainly something that we got to see how the rest of this plays itself out. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also talk about the NBA Finals. Yesterday's game was magnificent. We'll get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, host of the Random Royals lineup on 96.5 The Fan.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
I hate that you guys are putting me into this position. A lot of people are mentioning some of the things that are happening around the country is maybe a reason that the United States is not going to host the World Cup. Someone on the text line says, you guys are living a pipe dream. Look at what is happening. I understand that you guys can't bring politics into the show, but the World Cup being hosted in the United States is a layered issue. There's no chance that FIFA isn't watching how everything is being handled. I just would like to point out that the last World Cup was in Qatar. they used immigrant slaves to build the stadium. The one before that was in Russia. I don't think they're canceling the World Cup in America because of those things. I would be very, very surprised if that's the case. I'd be stunned, in fact, if that it was in the Middle East, the last one. Highly controversial that they decided to do that. They had the event. The event went fine. It went fine. They had the other one in Russia. It went fine. They are going to have the World Cup in Dallas, Texas. I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess they're going to have it in New York City. I'm going to go out on that limb. I understand you guys might not be happy, and I'm not even giving you my opinion, yay or nay. I'm just simply pointing out where they've actually had this event. So if they felt comfortable enough to have it in the Middle East, I think they're going to feel comfortable enough to have it in Kansas City, Missouri. I think they're going to feel comfortable enough to have it in Seattle, Washington, if those are the cities that they have chosen to give the World Cup to. So I'm excited about it. You're certainly allowed to agree or disagree in how you feel. That's perfectly fine. Someone says the ticket prices will plummet, but the World Cup is not leaving. Great. If you were telling me that now it's going to be economically feasible for a lot of people to go to the World Cup, I'm ready to buy my tickets now, if that's the case. Right now, I'll go. I'm perfectly fine. I don't know anything about it. I don't know where they're going to be. I don't know who's going to be playing in it. I can only probably name like four or five players. Rob, I'm guessing with where we live, we're not going to be getting the real good teams. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong, Rob. Who do you think we're going to get? Because they're not putting the United States team in Kansas City. They're putting them in like L.A. or New York or Miami or one of those kind of places, right? Like that's what I'm guessing.
I've already prepared mentally. Me and my group techs have talked about let's go to a group stage game in Kansas City and let's also at some point travel to a group stage game to see the United States. I do think they'll get a couple quality teams. I mean, they're hosting a quarterfinal. I mean, they're going to get one of the top eight teams.
I'm talking
in
about
the
beginning.
Stage,
I'm talking
yeah.
about when they do the group play. Are we going to get like one of the good teams? Like, are we going to host Brazil? I mean, I'm super fired up if we get a Brazil. If we get an England.
I think it's beyond possible because the tournament went to 48, which that's another.
Oh, that means you. So you're telling
problem.
Me because you know, like, think of like the. I'm only thinking is like the NCAA tournament. You can get like a Duke in your regional. You might get a Kansas in your regional. You also might not get one of those. You know what I mean? You might not get one of those marquee teams. You might be getting Drake in Missouri in your bracket and Texas Tech. I mean, they aren't bad teams to get, but you're not getting one of the teams you really want. I'm talking about the group play, the early stages. So, I'm with you. Once they start the tournament and we get like the Elite Eight, right? Technically, we get the Elite Eight. Yeah, once you get to the Elite Eight, we will get a really, really good game at the end.
I don't think it's impossible to believe they could get one marquee team in group play. Now, for your NCAA tournament comparison, imagine if the 1-16 was held in one region, one location, then they leave. I could see a Brazil taking on a Jordan or an Algeria. Or
sign me up for that. I'm going to be at that game.
They'll play Australia, and it'll just be it will be very pleasant to watch Brazil throttle that team. But I don't think you're going to get like, the group of death has a great England versus Argentina matchup.
That's not going to be in Kansas City.
That ain't coming here.
Yeah, that's going to be at MetLife. That's going to be at the Cowboys Stadium. We're not getting the group of death. You know what I want? I want us to get like two good teams and then two sorry teams. That's what I hope. Because then I'm guessing whenever those two sorry teams play each other, you can probably go for a good price. You can go. I don't know who the sorry teams are. The United States actually is probably one of those sorry teams, but I don't know enough to tell you. I don't know. Somebody said we should get Brazil because we're giving them the Chiefs. Sign me up for the United States.
I mean, if we're doing
sign
trades,
me up for Brazil coming here.
If we're doing trades, I mean, we just sent the Chiefs to Germany.
Well, that's fair. I just wanted to read that. I just wanted to share that with you guys. I'm excited for the World Cup. I'm excited for the World Cup as somebody who doesn't really understand the World Cup. I just know that it's high-level soccer. You guys know my rule. If you're telling me that people are competing at something in a very, very high level, you can get me into it for a very short period of time. I'll watch the Scribbs National Spelling Bee. These are the best spellers in the world. I do not understand poker. I don't mind watching the World Series of Poker. You're telling me Doyle Brunson, RIP, he's out there giving out the cards. Phil Ivey. I met Phil Ivey one time in Vegas. You're telling me I can watch a Phil Hellmuth? You think I knew all of this? I was an avid ESPN2 watcher back in the day. A little World Series of Poker, a little World Strongest Man, a little N1 mixtape. Yeah, I loved a little ESPN2 back in the day. I'm hip. I'm well-versed.
I mean, aren't all those people just friends with Nick Wright, too? So you're a
friend. I never met him through him. Nick had never invited me to none of his poker things. He knows I don't know how to play. I have actually no clue how to play. None. Do you know how to play poker?
I know enough to go into one of those rooms and lose. I don't know enough to, like, I can play with my buddies, but no, I'm not an actual, like, good poker player.
Let me ask you a question. 913-586-7965. This is actually a very important question. If I had to guess, of all the cities in the country that, like, have professional sports teams that's most like Kansas City, I think Indianapolis is probably number one on the list. We got an NFL team. They got an NFL team. We have a baseball team. They have an NBA team. They don't have a baseball team. We don't have an NBA team. Then you have some of the other sports, you know. They have one of the most famous racetracks in the world. They have the Indy 500. They have a WNBA team. We got an MLS team. I don't think Indianapolis has an MLS team. You know, one of those teams, you know, they seem very, very similar to me. I was thinking this actually earlier today as I was driving into work. We have thrown out the SoFi and Allegiant comparisons pretty frequently to the Chiefs, which makes sense. They're two new stadiums and they're also in the Chiefs division. So the Chiefs have just seen Allegiant a lot. They've seen SoFi a lot. In fact, they won a Super Bowl in one of these brand new, beautiful stadiums. Rob, what if the goal for the Chiefs is to try to be more like Indianapolis? Indianapolis, all of the events that we are talking about potentially coming to Kansas City, those events already go somewhere. Indianapolis gets the Final Four kind of frequently. They're kind of in the rotation to get the Final Four. Indianapolis is certainly a city that could host a WrestleMania. Indianapolis hosts the NFL Combine every single year. Indianapolis has also hosted the Super Bowl before, kind of recently. Rob, what if that's the goal? Obviously, Kansas City is not going to be Los Angeles or Las Vegas. Like, we're talking about, like, worldwide destinations. Like, people travel the world to go to Vegas for the weekend or go to LA for 7 days. It's not really how Kansas City or Indianapolis is, but it's not really what your goal is, what you're trying to be. You want to be a hub for major sporting events. That's what Indianapolis is. It is a hub for major sporting events. They will likely get the Super Bowl again at some point. They will certainly get the Final Four again. They are in the rotation for getting the Final Four. It makes a lot of sense for Indianapolis to get the Final Four. Indy's not that different of a sports city than Kansas City. Rob, it just hit me as I was watching the NBA Finals. What if that's really the goal of all of this? We were talking about that there are two roads for the Chiefs. They can either go be Lambeau and put a lot more money into this new stadium and renovate it and try to get it modern. Or what if the goal is to just be Indianapolis? Hey, we want to be considered another Midwest hub for a lot of these sporting events that Indianapolis has pretty firmly been in the rotation for to get on a year-in, year-out basis.
It is a fascinating thought. And it's just another extension of what does Chiefs ownership view as the future of the football stadium? Because if they view themselves like Indianapolis, then they are going to Kansas and they are getting a dome because the events reign supreme. I don't know how many concerts run through Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. I don't. I know that based on the Pat McAfee show, Morgan Wallen has been there. So I at least know he went there. He's been to Kansas City too. But you're right. They have the Combine. They're a consistent Final Four location. They're also a consistent Elite Eight location in Lucas Oil. They have the Combine. They've had the Super Bowl. They've done these things. Talk to anyone who's been to the Combine, Nate Taylor, Matt Verderam, whoever. They speak glowingly about Indianapolis hosting that event. They hosted the College Football National Championship 2 years ago. It was the Bama versus Georgia national title when Georgia beat Bama. That game was at Lucas Oil. They're in the rotation for that every year. They are a hub of stuff outside of just Colts games. And if Clark Hunt and the power structure over at One Arrowhead Drive wants to be a hub for stuff, Indianapolis is the example of what to be because they do a great job with the events. They get tons of events, and they're also able to host an NFL team the 10 to 12 weeks a year they play. Like, if that's what Clark Hunt wants, it's not a bad business model.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here, and I just did a quick Google search. So Indianapolis has hosted one Super Bowl. They hosted the Super Bowl back in 2012. So, I mean, somewhat recently. No one thinks that Indianapolis is going to be in the rotation. It's not New Orleans. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Vegas. No one thinks that it's that. But they have hosted a Super Bowl somewhat recently. I just did a quick Google search because I was curious. They actually have a multi-year partnership with WWE to ensure that they will get their three major events. So they have already hosted the Royal Rumble. They hosted the Royal Rumble actually earlier this year. They hosted it in February. So they hosted the Royal Rumble, and they also have a schedule that they will host SummerSlam and WrestleMania. So Indianapolis, in their football stadium, they're going to host the three big wrestling events. They have hosted the Super Bowl before, and I'm going to guess, and I'm just doing a Google search here, I'm going to guess that Indy has hosted the Final Four. In fact, they're hosting the Final Four next year. They're hosting the Final Four next year. Lucas Oil Stadium is going to host it. I also would guess that they probably have the Final Four three times in the last 10 years. Like, they are one of the cities that get it. This is the goal. If the Chiefs build a new stadium, this is the goal. Lock in a deal with WWE. We want to host these three major events. We want to host WrestleMania. You are not hosting WrestleMania in the current stadium that they have. It's in January, February. You're not having an outdoor wrestling event during that time, but you can in Indianapolis. We want to host SummerSlam. We want to host WrestleMania. Building a new dome stadium gets you those things. It also likely gets you in the rotation for the Final Four because one of the most iconic college basketball programs is right down the street. From the legend, it's what, a 25-minute drive to get to Lawrence? They would absolutely be interested in doing that. A place that loves college basketball, a place that loves sports, that would show out, that hasn't hosted a Final Four since, what, 1988? Yeah, I mean, this is the goal. This is what Kansas City is looking to be. They are looking to be Indianapolis if they end up building a new stadium over by the Legends. So that's one thing. This next thing, Rob, I want to talk to you about is I just want to argue with you about a list. So Pro Football Focus, and we'll break this up into two parts. Pro Football Focus gave their top 32 for every position in the National Football League. Why don't we break it up from an offensive perspective and a defensive perspective? Now, I'm not here to argue with you about who the best center is and who the best tackle is in the National Football League. I'm not that invested in that level of arguing. But for quarterback, these are who they have as the top five quarterbacks in the league. Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. Are you giving this a thumbs up and a thumbs down? Are you fine with this as the top five quarterbacks in the league? Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Allen, and Jalen Hurts. Are you fine with that five?
I'm fine with that five. I feel like that's the group. We talked about it earlier in the show. Catch the podcast page if you missed it. Chris Sims having Jalen Hurts, as much as him having Mahomes at four is wrong, Hurts at 10 is just a wild ride. That's the five. Now, we can argue about how that five shakes out year in and year out. One year, I think some guys are better than others. Like, it happens. Like, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen had incredible individual seasons last year. They had better individual seasons than Patrick Mahomes. If you went them one that year, whatever. But that's the five. So you're not going to catch any beef from me about that list. Actually, good job, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, I would probably argue the order a little bit. Like, Josh Allen, to me, I wouldn't have him behind Burrow and Lamar Jackson, but I don't want to spend our time arguing and debating this guy should be two, this guy should be three. The top four quarterbacks in the league, I feel like, are pretty solid. I think you kind of have to give Hurts the five spot right now. I mean, I don't think he's the fifth best quarterback in the league. I actually think that's Jared Goff. I would put Jared Goff at five, and I move Jalen Hurts down. But, I mean, if you were saying who is the best quarterback outside of the big four, if you're telling me that that player is Jalen Hurts, I won't fight you a lot. I do think that for that fifth best quarterback in the league, I mean, there's probably six quarterbacks that have a legitimate argument of being the fifth best quarterback in the league. It just feels like right now there is a pretty decent sized gap between those four QBs that I mentioned and then those other guys. I also think it's very important to note all four of those guys that we're talking about are all in the AFC. And that's why if you're a team like Pittsburgh and you're going to get a 41-year-old quarterback, wait, hold on. You're telling me the four best quarterbacks in the NFL, two of them are in your division and all of them are under the age of 30, and my plan of combating that is getting a 41-year-old quarterback? I just don't know if that is a very, very good plan. All right, let's move now to running back, because I know that running back is your favorite. If there's one thing I know you like to do, it's to discuss and break down and talk about running backs. Here is who they have as the top five running backs in the National Football League. Number one, Derrick Henry. Number two, Saquon Barkley. Number three, Bijan Robinson. Number four, Jahmyr Gibbs. And number five, Josh Jacobs. Do you agree? Are those the top five running backs in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think that one's pretty good, too.
I don't know what to do with Christian McCaffrey, because I would put a healthy Christian McCaffrey in my top five.
But he's not. The point I was going to make, and I apologize for interrupting.
You're good.
Is that if they are basing this on what happened in 2024, I have no problem with that list. Because Christian McCaffrey was barely on the football field last year. So if you are saying, hey, he didn't play, so he can't be one of the best five running backs in the league because you just don't know what he is, because he was first team all sweats and a t-shirt last year, I am open to that conversation. And I will listen, and then I will accept that is the list. But I don't know that you can have Christian McCaffrey in your top five.
Yeah, maybe I'm looking at this wrong, where if you told me heading into this season, would I rather have Josh Jacobs or Christian McCaffrey? I think I'd rather have Christian McCaffrey. Now, I understand there's a big caveat when it comes to injury. Other than that, I mean, this is probably the list. I would put Saquon at number one. I'd put Derrick Henry at number two. I'd put Jahmyr Gibbs at three, Bijan at four because of his versatility, and then I'd put Christian McCaffrey at five. So I'd shake up the order just a little bit different than what they currently have it at Pro Football Focus. All right, let's go to wide receiver. These are the top five wide receivers that Pro Football Focus has. Number one, AJ Brown. Number two, Justin Jefferson. Number three, Jamar Chase. Number four, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number five, Puka Nacua. Those are the five best wide receivers in the league. Now, I'm not here to tell you that Puka Nacua is not a dog. He is absolutely fantastic. If there's a system-wide receiver, I mean, isn't he the one that would be stopped? He'd be the one smiling at you in the picture. Puka Nacua is absolutely a beneficiary of Sean McVay and that system and all of the targets and workload that he gets. I don't got Puka Nacua in my top five. I don't. I wouldn't have Puka Nacua in my top five. In fact, I'm not 100% sure that he'd be in my top 10 if I was like really sitting here making the list. I would have Justin Jefferson at number one, Jamar Chase at number two. I'd put A.J. Brown at number three. I put Amon-Ra St. Brown at four, and I put CeeDee Lamb at five. I think those are the five best wide receivers in the National Football League. Now I'm sitting there thinking about it. Would I rather have Nico Collins or Puka Nacua? Would I rather have Tyreek Hill on a focused level? Would I rather have him than Puka Nacua? Yeah, I take Tyreek Hill. I'd rather have Mike Evans, and you know that pains me to say I'd rather have Mike Evans. Puka being at five just feels like a way too high of a list to me to put him on.
I mean, Puka is a lot of flavor of the month. Like, what? I know he's had two good seasons, but maybe that makes me a skeptic. Maybe that makes me a hater. But I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I just told you I am basing it on last year. But even last year, I wouldn't have said Puka Nacua was a that type of wide receiver. At least he wasn't to me last season as a person that drafted him in fantasy, which is what really everyone cares about. Like, that seems high for Puka Nacua to me.
Yeah, it seems very high to me to have Puka Nacua as the fifth best wide receiver in the National Football League. And again, I like Puka. Like, I don't want to make it seem like I don't think he's a good wide receiver. I just think five is just an incredibly high number. All right, when it comes to tight end, number one, George Kittle. Number two, Brock Bowers. Number three, Trey McBride. Number four, Mark Andrews. Number five, Sam Laporta. You might be wondering, where is Travis Kelce? They actually have Travis Kelce at number seven on the list. He is behind TJ Hawkinson, who was number six on the list. I think Brock Bowers is number one. I'd put him at number one. I'd put George Kittle at number two. I'd probably put Andrews at three, McBride at four, Laporta at five. Laporta got off to a little bit of a slow start, it felt like, last year, but really started to kind of get going the second half of the season. That feels about right. I also would put TJ Hawkinson ahead of Travis Kelce. Kelce being at seven at this stage in his career, that feels about right to me.
I agree with you on Kelce. What is Kittle doing at one? Like, what? Huh? The answer is Brock Bowers. Like, I know it might not be a popular opinion in Kansas City. Brock Bowers is the best tight end in the National Football League. Full stop. Not George Kittle. Not Travis Kelce. I like Sam Laporta a lot. It's not Sam Laporta. Brock Bowers is a freak at tight end. The way other towns talk about Travis Kelce, maybe not with the winning, but with the individual success, is how you will be talking about Brock Bowers for a long time in maybe Vegas and somewhere else. You know, how his NFL career is going to go. He's really, really good. How is he not number one?
It's a good question. I mean, number two on the list certainly makes sense to me. I mean, after just high, being a rookie. Just, yeah. No,
what did Kittle do that made him better last year?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think right now, if you asked me, I'd rather have Brock Bowers as my starting tight end than I'd rather have George Kittle. But Kittle, I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players in the National Football League. So, surprise, surprise, it would appear that the mayor of Kansas City is about to call into the show. Very excited to be joined by him. There's a lot of stuff to talk to him about. A, is the city ready for the World Cup as we are 1 year away from it? And we'll also get his thoughts on the bill being passed in Missouri. We have told that the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, is about to call into the show in 5 minutes. I'm excited to talk to him. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We actually did not have any guests scheduled today, but you know what? The mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, just decided to call. So you know what? We're going to take his phone call. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mayor Quint Lucas. Mayor Q, how are you doing today, my man?
You know what? Every day is interesting, but it's a good day in Kansas City and Missouri. Glad we're getting, I think, this stadium issue resolved.
Okay, let's start with the stadium then. That is a very interesting word choice to use, stadium resolved. What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean by that is the work of the Missouri legislature just 2 days ago that was passing the Show Me Sports Investment Act, allowing for Missouri through concrete funds to support up to 50% of stadium construction costs. Unlike Kansas, where you have speculative bonds that are not state-backed, this, I think, already makes a huge difference. You'll have local engagement, the city of Kansas City largely working with the Royals, Jackson County working with the Chiefs. I think what this tells us, at least, is that this ongoing saga will not go on forever, and more than anything, that I think what the teams have been looking for is a good, fair offer from the state of Missouri, very responsible to our taxpayers, and the sort of thing that says that we can, I think, wrap this up in days and weeks rather than having months and years ahead where we keep talking about all of it.
All right, let's talk about this from the Royals' perspective, because it sounds like, just based on what you said, you guys are working directly with the Royals to try to get this done. Is there a chance that this goes to a vote, or do you guys think that you'll be able to come up with the money or move some things around where in a couple of days we will hear an announcement, or in a couple of weeks we'll hear an announcement that the city and the Royals are working together to build a stadium in downtown Kansas City?
You know, look, ultimately it's a decision of the Kansas City Royals, but I can tell you right now, Kansas City already has an offer and a package, particularly with state support, that lays out how the Royals, through incentives, through existing approaches that we have now and existing financing, is able to support the construction of a downtown baseball stadium. I respect the people. We will have public hearings till the cows come home, but because this is not a sales tax, because this is not a new tax, this is the sort of thing that doesn't actually have to go to a vote. And I don't say that to avoid any engagement publicly, but just in the same way that in Kansas they passed star bonds of the legislature that did not go to a vote of the people of the whole state of Kansas, just like in Missouri they just passed the Show Me Sports Investment Act. Kansas City, because we're the largest city in the region, because we're the flagship brand of the region, have abilities through our size, through our experience, to build big things, just like we did with CPKC Stadium. We can get this stadium done. And I think this is the sort of thing where we can say we can get it done with some signatures on paper rather than going through a long, drawn-out further political process.
How open are the Royals to this? Because at least in the Missouri Senate in the special session, they did not want to commit to building a stadium in Missouri. Are they still very responsive to the idea of a downtown stadium?
You know, I think I would say a few things. One, I believe they continue to be responsive to the idea of a downtown stadium. I think it's fair to say right now that the Royals are playing their options. I respect that. They're a business, and their business has got to make a plan for the future. I think what's up to us is to do two things. One, and I know there are some of the listeners who may be angry about it, big cities need to have big things, right? We do not want to live in a city where we've moved everything out of downtown. We do not want to live in a city where people aren't confident going downtown anymore. That's one reason why we make sure we have investments like the Music Hall, the Kaufman Performing Arts Center, Bartle Hall, T-Mobile Center. And I mean, my thought is, if we think it's worthwhile to invest in us being able to see Celine Dion downtown, I want to invest in seeing Bobby Witt 81 nights a year. And I think that just makes good economic sense. I think the second point in connection with all of this is that right now, Kansas City is fully committed behind this. Earlier this week, you saw a comment from the new city manager in the Kansas City Star connecting with our engagement and our interest. I think you are seeing a full and consistent approach from Kansas City agencies. And I will note this distinction. The Missouri legislature, lots of the discussion was about what will Jackson County do or not do. And we can talk about them with the Chiefs in just a second. I think Kansas City gets this deal done, and I think the Royals understand that Kansas City, matched with the state of Missouri and the resources that we have, that looks to help fund a large part of the stadium responsibly for our taxpayers, is how we can get beyond this issue and build a new stadium and hopefully have a press conference sometime soon.
Right now, we're joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. Do you guys have an idea from a financial perspective what you guys are willing to commit to this? We have a concrete number from the state of Missouri based on the passing of this bill. Do you guys have an idea in terms of numbers what Kansas City is willing to commit to the Royals to keep them on this side of state line?
You know, we do, and I think we've shared this before. We think that there are at least several hundred million dollars in potential redirections, infrastructure funds, and others that Kansas City, Missouri can build out that help support the Royals project. I'll also note this about Kansas City, Missouri, as unique from other jurisdictions all around the region. We have infrastructure, we have public transit, we have parking garages adjacent to the site. And so rather than building something new or tearing down half of a city that you might see in proposals in other places, instead of stealing tax incentives off of already existing entertainment districts, and for my friends in Kansas, instead of filling up 119th Street and Knoll, which already have more than enough traffic, we have, I think, a build-out that works. I will note, downtown Kansas City is designed already to get large numbers of people to and from downtown each and every day. So downtowns were created. So it makes, to me, common sense based on just the zoning, the planning, the way an area is built out. It makes common sense on the financing, and we'll make sure we share that with the Royals. I think the position we are in now, and I think we have heard lots of irresponsible discussion over the past year, this turns to the Royals making a choice. Do you want a blue suit or I think they'll make a choice whether they want another suburban site. They're already in one now. Mind you, do they want a new one with more things around it for now and to make what I think would be a more of a 20-year decision? Or do they want to do something that is foundational, changes downtown Kansas City, and I think changes the team for the better for generations to come?
I know you've seen the story by now, and maybe you knew about it before it hit the timeline, or maybe you didn't. When you heard about the site at 119th and Knoll and the financial commitment that the Royals have made to purchasing that site, do you guys see that as a real threat, or did you guys see that as a bluff to potentially get things moving on the Missouri side?
Well, the Royals, it's an option for those who aren't in the world of contracts. people purchase options all the time. What it means is, though, that they don't have to buy it long term. They were trying to enhance, I think, their hand in dealing with whomever and whatever jurisdictions that they may be considering things with. What I understand and what I believe from the Royals is this. Since about, 2021, 2022, they have been talking about downtown baseball. They've been talking about downtown baseball because it is something special in America. People talk about Fenway Park. People talk about urban facilities, even ones that aren't in core downtown areas, but are in cores of cities surrounded by a lot of stuff, Wrigley Field. What they don't talk about is, hey, let's move the Cubs to Naperville, even if that makes sense and there's a mall across the street. So, you know, look, there are decisions to be made. There are different teams that have taken different approaches. Metro Atlanta is something that's raised a lot, but I'll note in Atlanta, traffic's awful. It's a metro of 6 million people, about 500,000 of whom live in the city of Atlanta. It's a very different space. In Kansas City, we still go downtown for lots of things. I think most Kansas Cityans are happy downtown has vastly improved since the year 2000. And so I think the Royals have a clear path in front of them. And at this point, money and issues and political will is no longer an impediment in making sure they can get things done.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, joining us on the show today to talk about the special stadium bill that was just passed in Missouri. So you mentioned that the city of Kansas City is having the conversations with the Kansas City Royals. Let's talk about the Chiefs side of it. Are you confident in Jackson County to get this done? Because there's one person, I'm not going to mention his name. Nobody seems to think that he is helping the proceedings. And then another person who was very public in all of this, every time I look on the news, he is not in the news for what his job is actually related to. Do you guys trust Jackson County to handle their end of the bargain when it comes to the Chiefs?
I am going to take a line from Congressman Emanuel Cleaver and say I'm praying for everybody. And I think what my answer will be is very simply this. It's common sense. If you are somebody who represents all of Jackson County, and if you're somebody who thinks about all of Jackson County, do you want a giant donut hole at the Truman Sports Complex? And right now I'm thinking about the folks in Lee's Summit, Blue Springs, Raytown, Independence, everybody who's east of the stadium. The balance of how things go in our region, there's a lot of stuff downtown. There's increasingly stuff in Kansas. You have to have something that is in central or eastern Jackson County. The Chiefs are laying out that path. Arrowhead Stadium is that path. It continues to give energy, attention, investment to Arrowhead and the area around it. And frankly, I think if you look at Green Bay and other stadiums that are similarly situated, football and Gillette Stadium up in Boston, you know, football is the sort of thing that can support a good build-out narrative. It's not used all the time, but team Hall of Fames are what Green Bay has done. A conference center is something they've done up there. Gillette Stadium, similarly. I think this is the sort of thing where common sense prevails. There are a lot of dramas, intrigues, political discussions, all of that every day in county government. I'm not going to speak to any of that. What I will speak to is it makes sense. If you're somebody who's elected to represent Raytown, Independence, if you're somebody who's thinking about the future of Lee's Summit, do you want something important for the region, vital, central to the region, closer to those suburbs, or do you want to move it 35 minutes away? To me, that answer's clear.
Mayor, how do you fight, I guess, at least what this bill represents? Because right now, I think it is safe to say the Chiefs have now two concrete, clear options on the table. One is a $1.1 billion renovation of a stadium that was built in 1972. The other one is a state is promising you to build you Allegiant Stadium. They are promising to build you SoFi Stadium, the Falcon Stadium, one of the most beautiful football stadiums in the world. How do you fight simply putting a fresh coat of paint on an old stadium where another state is offering to build them a brand new stadium?
Yeah, I think it's very simple. First of all, let's be real about what we've been talking about over the last year. A year ago when the Star Bonds issue passed, everybody was like, oh my God, they're moving immediately, which by the way, we're all sitting here a year later, did not happen. But let's think about the challenges with that. First of all, Star Bonds don't have state government backing. They don't have bonds backing them. So it's a question of, all right, these are these speculative bonds. We see in the news all the time, if we're actually reading it, projects that are not fulfilling them. Home field, Prairie Fire and Overland Park, all types of things. And so I think it is, frankly, a more speculative deal. But then going back to this other very clear point, which is to build a new domed stadium at this point probably costs between $2.5 or $3 billion. The Kansas incentive, I think, goes to what, $1.5? So the question is, are the Chiefs going to spend $1.5 billion tomorrow? Are they writing that check? Are they writing that check out of the funds they have now to do it? Or are they going to continue to play at something that we all go there know to be one of the finest facilities in the country. And CDOT, you get to see other facilities. I've been blessed to do so. I've been to most Super Bowls. I get blasted for it, but sure makes me able to compare it here. I don't think there is a better place to watch a game than Arrowhead Stadium. And I think a large percentage of Chiefs fans agree. And I think if you put $1 billion into that stadium, whatever issue you might have, it is hard to beat it anywhere else. So I don't think age in this situation is an issue. Age ain't nothing but a number. If you got a facility like this, just like Wrigley, just like Fenway, just like any other Lambeau, I think the Chiefs have that sort of value right now, and I don't think it's the type of home field advantage that you squander away for a stadium. And I'm sorry, maybe it's because I went to football games at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. They had a facility that was much – they have a facility that's much younger than ours, which the Rams left after 20 years. I don't think you take that sort of risk when you have something as golden as Arrowhead Stadium.
Last thing here, are you confident that we are coming to the end of this thing? I'm tired of it. You're tired of it. The citizens on both sides of state line, I think, are tired of the back and forth, tired of the discussion, and simply want the teams to come to a conclusion and let us know where the future of the Royals and Chiefs is going to be. Are you confident that we are close to the end of this? I mean, I'm looking at the Starbond expiring date in Kansas. That's coming up in less than 3 weeks from now. So if they maintain that we're not pushing it back, well, that offer is going to expire here in less than 3 weeks. Are you confident that we are toward the end of this conversation, that at some point in the next 3 weeks, we have a clear picture of what the Chiefs and Royals are going to do?
Short answer, yes. I think we are coming to an end, thankfully. Second point on that is this. If for whatever reason, I've said this all along, if for whatever reason they negotiate in a long length with either jurisdiction and for some reason it doesn't work out, you're telling me that if the Chiefs say, yeah, we're going to try to go ahead and build Arrowhead 2.0 and we're going to do all this work and it's going to be out of Truman Sports Complex, it's going to work and somehow it doesn't work out, and they call Kansas the next day and they say, hey, are you going to work with us? You don't think they're going to answer the call? And I'll be a big kid about it. If the Royals tomorrow say, yeah, we're going to build the Suburban Superdome in at the Sprint campus, I'll be like, odd, be disappointed. But if they came back months later and said, all right, we want to talk to Kansas City because it turns out downtown works, then, yeah, you can come back. I say all that to suggest the following. This is time for a decision to be made. I think it's time for everybody to move. And I don't think it is the sort of thing where you cross the Rubicon and you can't necessarily go back. So I think that I stand in this situation, I don't do every day, with the Kansas Republican leaders who are saying, yeah, let's get this done by June 30th. I'm with them. I think Kansas City has put a great deal forward. I think it only makes sense in Jackson County to move ahead, no matter the politics or the people involved. And I think the teams recognize that. And they recognize you want to be in jurisdictions that have done this before. You know, one thing that's not talked about with the stadium projects and other jurisdictions that the Royals could go, how do you even handle the zoning? What do the people think? What's going to happen? You're going to demolish half North Kansas City? You're going to, like, bulldoze through Public Common and Overland Park? There's a lot of steps there. Downtown makes sense to a man and woman, every person saying, all right, I at least get that. I understand the people that are like, never leave Kauffman folks, but I think there is a clear message here. There is clear monetary support, and I hope there's a clear answer coming up.
And that is the mayor of Kansas City. Mayor Quentin Luke is joining us on the show today to react to the state of Missouri has passed a bill to fund a new stadium for the Kansas City Royals and also a renovation of Arrowhead for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mayor Q, safe travels on the way back to Kansas City, man. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Take care of yourself.
Absolutely. That is Mayor Quentin Luke is joining us on the show today. I have an analogy based on what we just heard from the mayor. We'll get to it coming up on the other side because I think now that all the information is out there, it is clear what Missouri's message is. It's also clear what Kansas's message is. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.